We now bring to these microphones David James. He's coming to the broadcast table, and we're going to have our weekly conversation about an issue that needs to be discussed so we as Christians can understand how we should live our Christian life. Just last Wednesday, Yom Kippur was the holiest day in the Jewish feast days, or should I say holy holidays, and it was a very holy day. So I thought it'd be great for David and I to discuss the concept of holiness. We'll do that in a moment. But David, before we get to our topic in today's discussion, I want to encourage our listeners to consider going to one of our tours to Israel. You can go on that tour. We're all excited about you joining our sons as a tour teacher and a Bible teacher and a tour guide in just over about a month. I personally think that you bring a lot to the table, David, as a Bible teacher of over 30 years and with a unique perspective as an expert on the topic of God's plan through the ages.
Well, I'm really excited about this trip, and I know that you and Jimmy and Rick all are experts in prophecy, and you bring your own unique perspective to the Bible teaching and the land of the Bible, Israel. At the same time, I've been teaching, as you said, for over 30 years. I've taught Bible survey, both Old Testament and New Testament. I've taught the life of Christ. So I think I bring that knowledge to the table that would be helpful for anyone who would join us on a trip. And then, as you and I have discussed many times, I've taught God's plan through the ages for nearly 20 years now, and I think that also brings a perspective that will be helpful and enlightening to anybody who would join us on a tour. So I'm very glad to have this opportunity to expand my ministry in this way.
Well, we're thrilled also, David, and I'm absolutely convinced, knowing how you teach God's plan through the ages, it's going to enhance our study while we're in the greatest classroom in the world, the State of Israel. And if you're interested in joining David and our boys on this tour to Israel in the end of October, 1st of November, go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to Joshua Travel. You can find out all the information you need, the exact dates, itinerary, the cost, and everything else. Go to Joshua Travel, prophecytoday.com. David, let's get back to our topic for today. I touched on the topic of Yom Kippur with Winky Madad a moment ago, but I would like for us to dig deeper into this important day and how it relates to holiness. First of all, could you briefly explain for our friends the purpose of Yom Kippur?
Well, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, is first mentioned by that name, Day of Atonement, in Leviticus 23:27, and that phrase is used three times, both in the next verse as well as in chapter 25. But actually, the concept goes back to Leviticus 16, in verse 29, where the Lord tells Moses, "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and it is a statute forever." So it's the one day a year that God set aside for the high priest to go into first the tabernacle and then later into Solomon's temple, go into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, and he would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, which is also known as the mercy seat because it is the portable throne of God here on the earth when he dwelt among his people. And so it is the time when sins are atoned for, national sins as well as the personal sins for the people, in order to appease God's wrath. And the writer of Hebrews, quoting the Old Testament, says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin."
Well, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or actually the Day of Covering, is considered the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. I think it'd be good for us to think through and remind everybody, since Yom Kippur is observed by the Jewish people today, however, there is no temple, no Ark of the Covenant, and no priest. Just explain what they do today, David.
Well, they spend a time in prayer. It's the time when attendance at synagogue is the highest. And in fact, even many secular Jews attend synagogue on Yom Kippur, as opposed to the normal three times of prayer. They actually have five times of prayer, and the prayer services also include private and public confessions of sin, and there's a unique prayer dedicated to the high priest who would be in place if the temple were in place. So I think it also not only looks back to the previous year in which there were sins that were committed that need to be dealt with, I think it also looks forward to the Jewish hope of the future temple and the time that they will be able to practice and observe Yom Kippur in all its fullness.
Now, with all of that information, let's move to the concept of holiness, which is found throughout the entire Bible. I was looking at Strong's Concordance the other day. Over 500 times, I think, holy or holiness is mentioned. And it's probably quite a bit of confusion about holiness, or actually what it means to be holy. Get into that for us.
Sure. Well, I think many tend to think of holiness as following a set of rules, and these usually end up being man-made. And this is exactly what the Pharisees did, and as a result, they place an impossible burden upon the average person. And we tend to see this trend in holiness churches and denominations and some other groups today that tend to have very strict codes of conduct, including dress and personal appearance. But just like the Pharisees, these often go beyond the Word of God. And this almost inevitably leads to legalism, which is when we judge someone's spirituality based upon how much they conform to a set of external rules that aren't necessarily stated explicitly in Scripture. So I do think there is some confusion. I think it's good that we're discussing this.
Yeah, then what is the biblical definition of holy, and also the definition of holiness?
Well, going back to your reference to your search in Strong's Concordance, I actually used my Logos Bible software to get an exact count. Either holy or holiness appears 669 times in 598 verses, and the first mention is in Exodus 3, verse 5, where Moses encounters the Lord on Mount Sinai, and the Lord said, "Don't draw near to this place, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And then the last mention of holy or holiness is found in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, where it talks about, "Let him who is holy, let him be holy still," talking about the way it will be in the future. So the concept of holiness itself has the idea of being set apart to God. The most basic idea is to be set apart for the purpose of being pure and undefiled before the Lord. God is holy because he's separate from and undefiled by the creation, which is now fallen and characterized by sin and full of all types of wickedness and evil. And so Peter actually says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, quoting from Leviticus chapter 11, he said, "He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Be holy, for I am holy." And so the idea is that just as God is set apart from all forms of wickedness and evil, those who are believers are also to be set apart from wickedness and evil in our daily lives, in our thinking, in our conduct, in the things that we say, the things that we participate in, that we are to be set apart to God for the purpose of worshiping him with our lives and doing what he would have us to do, and walking before him and walking before the world and having a good testimony of what it means to be a child of God.
David, you mentioned the book of Leviticus, and I've studied the book of Leviticus. Technically, it's for those who would do the sacrificial system and activities and the standard for those priests who would perform those sacrifices, and then how do you worship in a temple or a tabernacle? So that's the technical application of it. The spiritual application, the word holiness used 87 times in Leviticus, which I think is a great study if you want to understand holiness. David, do you think that the church today has lost a sense of holiness and what it means to be holy in our daily lives?
Well, I think so. And one thing I've thought of as I was preparing for this is, while we don't agree with the Roman Catholic Church at all, it's heretical and apostate, one thing that the Catholic Church did achieve in the building of its cathedrals and basilicas was inspiring a sense of awe when people entered into these places of worship, much like the temple was. And again, I'm not advocating for Roman Catholicism. I'm just saying that that is different than what we see, especially in the most modern church buildings. And I'm not saying it's wrong to build pole buildings and all that, but I think it does have an effect. And while holiness is a matter of the heart, I think we have largely lost that sense of awe when it comes to the holiness of God. I don't think we have to wear suits or dresses to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, but the fact is, I think so many are so casual in their attitudes that they wear things to church that they would never wear to a wedding, for example. And this isn't directly related to holiness, but it does connect with our sense of awe, and I think that sense of awe of God does lead to holiness in our personal lives. And I think for many, there's not much separation from the world in the way we think or the things that we say or do, and many believers are not only in the world, but are largely indistinguishable from the world.
Well, that's a great thought. In the world, but they're not indistinguishable from the world. What are some of the practical ways that believers, David, as we always try to conclude with something practical, how can believers work to be more holy in our, not only they, but our daily lives as well?
Well, Paul says in a very well-known passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And that connects directly to Yom Kippur. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this can only begin first when someone has trusted Christ as their Savior. In fact, the word for saint is related to the Greek word for holiness or holy. And so you must first be a believer, and that is the first step toward holiness. And then as we allow the Holy Spirit to work out in our lives, as we respond to His convicting work, as we confess our sins, as we try to be separate from the world in the things that we do and that we say, the entertainment that we choose to participate in, even the friends that we choose sometimes, these can all be things that help us to be holy because the Lord is holy.
You know, I love the Word of God. And when I look at the Word of God, I don't see it as a set of rules. You started with this, that we have to abide by to be holy. But because we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit living within us, He empowers us to look at the instructions and simply follow the instruction book. You know, if I was having to build something for one of my grandchildren for their birthday or Christmas, I'd look at the instruction and try to follow them. That's what God's Word is. Great, great discussion, David. Thank you so much. And we'll do this again next week, buddy.
All right. I look forward to it.
Praise the Lord. We're going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to open the Bible. We're going to take a look at the book and consider all the current events we've discussed and see how they fit into the prophetic scenario for the end times. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.